In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
And so it begins. And so it begins. I hope everyone knows what I'm referencing on Zacchaeus Sunday when I say, and so it begins. And so begins our journey to Pascha. This is the very beginning of that ascent up the mountain of the Lord. The mountain on which the Lord accomplishes our salvation through his death and resurrection. That mountain from which he ascends to heaven to prepare a place for us so that where he is, we too may be. We begin again our journey of ascent. Ascent is something that's so important for us in our lives, brothers and sisters. Because it's by ascending that we come into communion with our God, the one from on high. And today we saw in the gospel reading an ascent of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus climbed up a sycamore tree so that he could see that God from on high, so that he could see Jesus Christ. You know, there's a reason why on a ship you have a crow's nest, or in a citadel, a fortress, you have a tower, or on a church you have a dome, so that you could see from the heights. Zacchaeus climbed up his tree so that he could see and have vision, knowledge, perspective, and even inspiration. I told the children today that this church is going to make an ascent today. We're going to be lifted up off the ground. And I'd like for Anissa and Nancy, in the back there's a button there that will actually lift us up. If you could just press it. She can't find it. It's on her children if we don't actually do it. But you have to use your imagination then. Picture this church being lifted up off this earth through the clouds up into outer space so you could see the world as God sees the world. I even did a little test this morning. I asked for a globe from Nikolai. He gave me a little globe. And I found Berlin, Maryland, and I kind of held the globe back. And I said, well, you know, you could see Berlin from outer space. You could also see kind of the east and the west, the north and the south. You could see the whole globe almost, at least one half of it at a time. And you could even see Jericho if you were to ascend on high, going straight up from this very point. In fact, Jericho's right on the horizon. Just barely you could see Jericho. Let's make a trip to Jericho now. And we'll look at that sycamore tree. Sycamore trees, for those who study botany, forestry, you know, sycamore trees are large trees. The American sycamore trees can grow 75 to 100 feet tall with a similar spread. Massive trees. Very large ones can have a trunk that's 10 feet in diameter. In Jericho, they had a different type of sycamore tree. It wasn't quite as tall, maybe only about 60 feet, and it had figs on it. Different place, different type of tree. But the same concept. When you climb a tree, you can see. You have this vision, this perspective, this knowledge, and this inspiration. And that's why Zacchaeus climbed, so that he could see his inspiration. He knew that Christ was to pass that way. He had heard about this Messiah, this Son of God, and he wanted to see with his own eyes who he was. So he climbs up this tree and he waits. Of course, when Christ comes that way, he calls Zacchaeus to come down, because he's got to enter into his house and he's got to bring salvation to him. Zacchaeus welcomes him. And Zacchaeus says something remarkable. He says, Lord, I know that the crowds are saying that I'm a sinner, but I don't want to be a sinner anymore. Half of what I've got, I give it to the poor. And if I defrauded anyone, I take that amount and I restore it fourfold. He offers his repentance, and he's changed, becomes a new man. Today, salvation had come to his household. Now, Zacchaeus was a smart man. He was not only successful in a worldly way, he was a chief tax collector, he was rich, but he was smart enough to look for that Messiah, for that Savior, who could redeem him, who could save him. So he climbs up the tree, he welcomes him to his house, he offers his repentance. But this repentance wasn't something, we must realize, this wasn't something that just happened like that for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had already been slowly changing internally. He had already known about Christ and his teaching and his miracles and this newness of life that he was bringing to the world, and he desired it. That's why he climbed the tree. That's why he welcomed into his home. That's why he was able to make that great repentance. He was already being changed. Zacchaeus was a man of action that day because previously he was a man of vision and preparation. And Zacchaeus put his house in order. What a great expression, putting our house in order. That's kind of what we try to do in this season that we're entering. Put our house in order. And that goes for the human person, which is meant to be a house of God. It's meant also for our homes where we live and dwell. We have to put our households in order. And also it's meant for our church community. We have to have our house in order. We've been welcoming a lot of new guests to the Lord's house. And one of them comes from Guatemala. Francisco, welcome. I spoke a little bit with Francisco via a translator, Kelly. Amen. Thank you for that. And I thought to myself, I'm going to put a little Spanish in today's sermon. So I'm going to do that. Uh-oh. Right. The little Spanish I think everyone knows is mi casa es su casa. My house is your house. What did Zacchaeus say to the Lord? My house is your house. First in his person, second in his household. What did the Lord say to Zacchaeus? It's not in the scriptures. But essentially he said, mi casa es su casa. My house is your house. What does that mean? Well, the Lord's house is his church. And Zacchaeus later became a bishop in the church in Caesarea in Palestine, right on the water there, on the Mediterranean. He welcomed Christ into his person, into his household, and Christ welcomed him, Zacchaeus, into his church. And not only that, but also into the kingdom of heaven, because Zacchaeus became a saint. Mi casa es su casa. You know, if you're still in your imaginary ascent and you're looking down on the earth, what do you think is on the opposite side of the globe? You can see us right in the center, and then you see on one side of the Holy Land. What's on the opposite? Take a guess at that. What do you think it might be? China? No, can't see China. Come a little bit more in the Pacific. Hawaii. Believe it or not, you can see Hawaii. So you got the Holy Land on one side, Hawaii on the other, and you got us right in the middle. Hawaii. How are you going to weave that in, Father John? Well, I'm not going to. I think the Lord already has. And I love to tell these stories, because it's not just our story here, the story of this parish, but it's the story of Christ in our midst. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how Hawaii fits into this parish. Those who are familiar with the history of the parish and this property know that this property was actually acquired in 1989. That's when the first structure was built, some 30 years ago. 1989, first structure was built. Do you know who built it? Anyone know who Mike Cappy is? Who's Mike Cappy?
The contracting, the Orthodox, convert Orthodox.
What was he instrumental in building?
St. George.
St. George's, right in Ocean City. He purchased this property looking to build an Orthodox church at some point. Very interesting. He was the first owner of this property. You know who was the last owner of this property before Christ the Savior? A gentleman named Juan Miras. Juan was in Hawaii. Here's the connection. He was in Hawaii with his family, vacationing. And he was going up a road on the side of a mountain. He was making this ascent. And he got to a point where it was above the cloud line. Who's been on a road where you go above the cloud line? It's really a majestic view. And he got to be above the cloud line, and he saw this home up on the mountain there. And he said, I've got to check this out. So everyone in the family gets out, and they go check out this home. They knock on the door. We just want to see your house. And they do. They check it out. And Juan was so inspired by this house that when he purchased this property here, he tried to turn it into that house. That was his inspiration. I remember when I came here for the first time, he told me the story. He was so happy to tell it. And then the story went south for a second. You know, it's a great story until he said, oh, it's the house. It was called, that home that I saw there, it was called the House of the Sun God. I thought, oh, paganism. And then I realized, well, maybe he just got it a little bit wrong. Maybe it's supposed to be the House of the Son of God. And of course, I think it was. We call him John the Forerunner. He prepares the way for Christ the Savior. Did the renovations, he put in the pool for baptisms. At some point we might have one, who knows? But he really prepared unwittingly for the Lord's house here. And that Hawaiian name, I'm going to try and pronounce it, Haleakala. Haleakala. If you've been to Hawaii, you know that that is also the name of a mountain there. It's a special mountain. It's a volcanic mountain in East Maui. In fact, it was that mountain that gave birth to 75% of that island. Elevation 10,023 feet. And that mountain has the same name as that house and that inspiration. Just this past year, 2018, we had a planning commission formed to look at the past and look at the future. And this year, in 2019, the 30th anniversary of the birth of this property, that planning commission presented their report to the annual meeting, to the parish body. And the goal of that report, one sentence goal, to build a new Orthodox church on this property. To build a new casa for our God. The Planning Commission has a lot of work to do. Things don't happen overnight. It takes a lot of vision, a lot of preparation, and a lot of action. So the Planning Commission is now looking for the right spot on the property to build this church, to build this temple, to build this house of God. What do you think we're looking for right now? Upland. Upland, right? Upland. High ground. Elevation. The summit, if you will, of this property. We're looking for the Haleakala. The place for the Son of God. I don't know where it is. We're looking. Perhaps maybe we're already at the summit. Who knows? Only God knows. But we're looking. Because that's what we're called to do. You know, this story, which I love to tell, has so many aspects to it. And so many people to it. I'd love to tell you more, I can't right now, because some of those people are here today. And you know, some of those people have done great things and are doing great things and will do great things. And I imagine that there are probably some people here who are thinking, as we're talking about building a church and that imposing endeavor, I hope he's not talking about me. Could be. There are people who are thinking that. But I'll tell you, I'm sure that there are people here who are thinking, please God, I hope he is talking about me. That was the attitude of Zacchaeus. Please God, I hope you're coming for me. Brothers and sisters, Zacchaeus should be a great encouragement to us. Because he had vision, he prepared, and he took action. He put his house in order, himself, his family. He was entrusted by Christ with the church and the kingdom. And he looked to Christ for everything. When he made that ascent, he saw Christ coming, and he saw in Christ his future. But on that day, he saw that his future also met his present. The future meets the present. I don't know what our future holds, but I do know that it's meeting the present today. Brothers and sisters, I want to close with how I began, with the words, "And so it begins. And so it begins." Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.